Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. And I can tell you this, folks, they're not going to shut us down. They can try, but it's not going to happen. I know a lot of you folks very upset that Parler was officially kicked off the internet late last night. And I know we had about 115,000 of you that followed us on the Parler app, and that's gone. But fortunately, we were able to alert you over the weekend, and my understanding is around 20,000 people have signed up for the newsletter, and more are still signing up, even as we speak. It is literally, I know I've been, a lot of you get tired of hearing me say this, but it's true. That newsletter is the only way, the only pipeline you have that you can rely on for news and information from a conservative worldview. Otherwise, you're just not going to get it, and that's the way it is. By the way, speaking of worldviews, this the senator-elect, Raphael Warnock out of Georgia, says he's going to continue to be the senior pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Communist Church there in Atlanta. And yesterday he was preaching, and he compared President Trump to a snake, said once you cut off the head of the snake, it still wiggles around and causes all sorts of mayhem. But that's because it's not living, it's dying. Just want you to be aware of what you people in Georgia voted for last week, because you got it. So we're going to get into all of that this hour of the program. Also, some documents that we've obtained from the Pentagon over the security breaches up on Capitol Hill last week. Some fascinating information there. But we've got another big story we're paying very close attention to, and that, of course, is the China virus. Have you noticed that nobody's talking about the China virus or election fraud anymore? What's up with that? It's like, poof, it's just gone. It disappeared. But anyway, there's a big problem in California, and our good friend Dr. Paul Chappell, who is the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College, they are working with Samaritan's Purse to help folks out there in Southern California. Dr. Chappell, good to have you on the program.
Great to be on the program, Todd. Appreciate the time, and we are certainly praying for our country today.
You know, I want to ask you about that before we get into what's happening with Samaritan's Purse.
Sure.
What did you tell the congregation on Sunday after what the country's been through this past week?
Well, I've really challenged our congregation to place the gospel as the priority and really sharing Christ. The only way to change hearts is to help people to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to find the peace that he brings. And of course, as you have duly noted, there will be an attempt, and it's coming on fast and heavy now, to characterize every conservative and every Christian as an extremist who would condone the laws that were broken at the Capitol last week. And the truth is that the vast, large majority of Christian people are peacefully serving others today and going about doing their business in the name of the Lord. And that includes what we're doing out here with Samaritan's Purse as they raise up a field hospital in our city, just trying to help COVID patients. But these types of things, of course, don't get the press. They're not inflammatory enough. And yet I see the attempt to try to smear Christians and people who have faith as some kind of radicals. And I suppose that will continue in the days and even years to come. But in the meantime, we have a great message, and we're going to keep sharing that message.
You know, Dr. Chappell, you mentioned Samaritan's Purse. They're setting up a hospital there. What are you guys doing, and what's happening there on the campus of the church?
Well, we have really seen a spike in L.A. County, Todd. And, you know, the China virus, which I call it that as well, because my wife and I both had it last month, and it's unlike anything we've ever experienced health-wise. And I said to Terry, I said, boy, it really does seem it was created in a lab somewhere, because every kind of a rolling symptom affects you. But it has hit home for us. One of our staff wives passed away just Saturday with the COVID virus. We've had a real spike in the county, and the hospitals are full. And, you know, as a pastor, I have a heart for our flock, but I have a heart for our city. And I know a lot of medical professionals that have, they've just worked so many hours, and it's really affected them. And so I was praying about it on New Year's Day. And I called Franklin Graham, and I just said, I know you've done a couple of these. Would you consider one in California? And I'm telling you, just a few minutes later, the ball began to roll. And yesterday, we had about 60 of our men help erect these temporary buildings. First time we've ever excused absence from church like that on a Sunday. But we made the exception. And Edward Graham has been out here with us helping to oversee some of the project and cast the vision. And we're just truly grateful. Our city, our mayor, our medical leaders are very grateful. They tried to get the ship that President Trump had sent out to L.A. Harbor, but it's being repaired. And that ship has about 700 or 800 beds. And this field hospital is going to give us about 60 or 70, which is an amazing overflow capacity for our area.
And Dr. Champel, again, I think this goes to the heart of who Christians are, who evangelicals are. And it's an example of just, you know, this this commitment to serve your community. And
right.
And so it's exciting that you guys are doing that with Samaritan's Purse.
Well, we're very grateful to Samaritan's Purse. It's been an amazing operation thus far, and we'll have a press conference today at 1 to kind of share a little more of what's going on. But they should be fully operational in the next day or two. And if there's anyone that's listening and you would like to be a part of helping in this area, you can go to the Samaritan's Purse website, and they have a volunteer section where you can fill out application. They have requirements of folks to be faithful in their churches and Christians, and people that have the licenses and medical backgrounds. But already we have doctors and nurses here from really several states in the East, and the help is needed, and I think we've got another few months to get through this. So if you're interested in helping, just go to SamaritansPurse.org and look for the volunteer section, and they would welcome you.
I don't know if you know this, but Franklin Graham has posted a pretty awesome video on Twitter, a time lapse of the field hospitals going up there in your neck of the woods. Pretty amazing stuff. So we'll be certain to share that. And again, Dr. Champel, where can people go to get information about you and the great work that y'all are doing out there?
Well, we're at LancasterBaptist.org, and we are really thankful for God's grace over the years. We're in this environment like all the other pastors where we're working as hard as ever, and some of our folks are staying home because of either legitimate concerns or outright fear because of, you know, the media and so forth. But having said all that, yesterday we still saw people turning to Christ and several baptized. And so we're just going forward, and we appreciate the prayers of our friends. And we're thankful that we can step in and serve with setting up a hospital and joining with Samaritan's Purse. And as I said, Todd, the rhetoric and the opportunism that we see from really not people that hate just Donald Trump. They've got hate much deeper than that. And sometimes it's going to spill out towards people of faith. But we just have to continue showing our faith by our works and being willing to stand in difficult times like the church of the first century did.
Well said.
And I know that God's going to give us the grace and the strength to do what he's called us to do.
All right, Dr. Champel, we're going to have to leave it there. Folks, we've got links to the church's website, Samaritan's Purse, over on the live show blog. Be sure to check that out. Dr. Champel, thank you.
Thank you. Keep up the good work, Todd.
All right, good man right there, folks. Wow, great work they're doing out there in northern Los Angeles County. By the way, I think they have 7,000-8,000 people that go to that church. Huge, huge Baptist church out there. By the way, I told you my column up on Town Hall, and before we get to that, I want to share this bit of breaking news. President Trump is going to award the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Congressman Jim Jordan. I can assure you that just triggered the entire Democrat Party. That one announcement just triggered everybody. So I've got this column up on townhall.com, and I do think we need to have a conversation about the meaning of the First Amendment. Because a lot of you out there have been saying Twitter does not have a right to remove people from their platform. Google has no right to do that. How dare they? They have no right under the Constitution. How dare they? Well, I gotta break it to you, folks. I really hate to do this, but they have every right. So let me explain how this works. And I know you may not agree with this, but it's all right. I've already been called a closet leftist on the live show blog earlier in the program. So look, I own a broadcast media company. We have a news radio station we own. We have two very prominent websites that we own. And then, of course, we do the national show. Now, just like Twitter and Facebook, I get to decide who has a voice on my platforms. So the government cannot come in and say, Todd, you have to have Donna Brazile on your radio program. And if they did, there would be a civil war. But they can't do that because it's my company, my rules. I pay the mortgage. I get to decide what happens in the building. And the same thing goes for Twitter and Facebook. Now, the bigger problem here is that the American people have literally surrendered their lives to social media. You guys, when you sign up for these platforms, you don't bother to read the fine print before you check the box. And you wake up one day and you realize that Facebook and Twitter and Google know everything about you. They have all of your information. They know every single thing, every little dirty detail about your life. They know now. That's on you. That's on you. So look, should Twitter and it's the wrong question. The right question is, should Twitter and Facebook censor people like President Trump? And the answer is absolutely not. This is what free speech is. But that's not what Twitter and Facebook and Google are interested in. I'm telling you, what happened over the weekend, that was not some sort of a random occurrence, taking out the president, taking out Parler. This was a coordinated attempt to shut down the conservatives. As I had a chance to analyze this over the weekend, it's very clear to me that whatever is about to happen, and we don't know what's about to happen, but whatever it is, that big tech and the Democrats and the mainstream media do not want conservatives to communicate. They want to cut off the communication arm. And that's pretty much what they've done. You know, over the weekend, we started getting reports, hey, wait a second, we're losing Twitter followers. We lost about 20,000 Twitter followers, just gone, vanished, deleted by Twitter. And we were the lucky ones. There are others, and I'm not going to name names, but some of them they lost a million followers. And Twitter is saying, oh, this is part of our standard maintenance. But at the same time, as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo pointed out, at the same time, all of these leftist groups were actually gaining followers. So there is an effort afoot. Something is going on. Something is about to happen. And they don't want conservatives to communicate. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. By the way, ABC News political director, guy by the name of Rick Klein, wrote a little ditty on Twitter. Trump will be an ex-president in 13 days. The fact is that getting rid of Trump is the easy part. Now, can I just stop here for a moment? Rick Klein is supposed to be the fair and balanced journalist at ABC News. He is their political director. And what does that mean? He directs their political coverage. That's why they call him the political director. So this guy is clearly anti-Trump, says that the easy part was getting rid of Trump. Then he goes on. He says this, cleansing the movement, he commands, is going to be something else. Cleansing the movement. So exactly what does Mr. Klein mean by this? So the guy ended up deleting it. He deleted the tweet. But you know what? It doesn't matter because he still said it. The guy still wrote what he wrote. This guy, Rick Klein from ABC News, wants to cleanse you people. Now, is this like some sort of an ethnic cleansing like they did in Bosnia? Is that what they're talking about here? Or as Bernie Sanders and his supporters suggested, do they want to put us all in like re-education camps? If you remember the secret undercover Project Veritas videos. Meanwhile, you have the Lincoln Project people who are out there, and they're compiling a database to harass any company that hires Trump administration staffers. Forbes magazine, too. They're going after Trump supporters as well. It's pretty nefarious stuff. All right, let's go to the phones real quick here. Benton, Arkansas, James hanging out with us today. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, I just wanted to know if I was allowed to change your screen name to Patch. Welcome back, Todd.
James, thank you, R-matey. No, we have banned pirate music, but thank you for that.
We spoke last Monday. I was the one in South Louisiana basically predicting some sort of armed conflict.
So you predicted there would be violence at the Capitol.
Yeah, with you on the phone, I had been foreseeing it for quite some time, and pretty much I didn't know where it would come from, but it came from the thugs that want to finance by the left.
James, where do you think all of this? Where do you think all of this goes? Do you think that it's, you know, whatever happened, and that's it, we're moving on, or do you think that there are going to be more problems down the road?
Well, the military wanted Nancy's laptop for some reason.
Now, that is the rumor that someone stole Nancy Pelosi's laptop, and she actually said that somebody stole it. We don't know what's on that laptop, but somebody's got it.
Well, mixed in with everything that happened Wednesday was what I'm hearing to be a military operation to collect evidence.
So you don't think this is over? You're still one of these guys holding out hope?
No, sir. It's not. I'm holding out hope, just like you are.
All right. This is fascinating. We'll see how this all plays out, James. Hate to do this, but we're coming up on a news break. Thank you for the call, though. Retired General Thomas McInerney was talking about some of these. He was talking about these allegations that this was some sort of a military operation. I don't know about that. That's what he's saying. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Hey, look, we've got to take a quick break here, pay some bills. We're coming up on the news break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. You know, it's interesting, and we're going to be watching this angle of the story develop rather quickly. There is now an attempt underway to punish some of the conservatives left at Fox News Channel, and there are only a handful. But they're wanting to hold Fox News Channel accountable for what happened Wednesday in the nation's capital. It bears repeating that Fox News Channel did not stoke any violence. They did not encourage any violence. As a matter of fact, no legitimate conservative I know was doing anything of the sort. As a matter of fact, and again, just to illustrate how unhinged all of this is and how insane it is, Alex Jones from InfoWars, is actually the voice of reason here. I've never seen, I never thought I would say that, but this is where we are in America. So here's Alex Jones smacking down all the QAnon pro, you know, whatever, storm the Capitol, whatever crowd. Cut number three, please.
He broke all that. We know that. I'm saying Q tells us stuff and all of its lies is what I'm saying.
You keep interrupting me.
Because you're lying. Because you're full of That's
oh
why. Because every God thing out of you people's mouths doesn't come true. And it's always, there's energy. And, now we're done with Trump. You said he was the Messiah. You said he was invincible. You said it was all over. They were all going to Gitmo. Now, he's part of a larger thing of Q. I will not suffer your Q people after this. I knew what you were day one, and I know what you are now, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of all these witches and warlocks and pumpkin popsums and everything. Oh, God. Sorry. Bye, Box.
I feel your pain, Alex Jones. But it wasn't just on his radio show this happened. During the rally, and again, folks, I don't think we have the full story about what was really going down at the Capitol. No doubt it was a riot. No doubt the building was stormed. We have the video evidence. There are actually people on our live stream right now accusing me of being a far leftist and making up story. They said, no, this never happened. Okay, folks, don't be stupid. Please, please don't be stupid. So Alex Jones, to illustrate this point we're going to make here, Alex Jones was at the Capitol, all right? And he was one of the guys that was trying to encourage people to chill out. Take a listen to this soundbite. We love you too, Alex. All right, so there you have it. So if, again, folks, this goes against the mainstream media narrative, but the reality is that, there were Trump supporters in the mob that laid siege to the U.S. Capitol. No doubt about it. We know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But do we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Antifa was not a part of this? No, we do not. We're going to find out. I can promise you that. I can certainly promise you that. So now we have this effort to shut down the communication, which is why we saw them ban the president from all of his social media platforms. It's why hundreds of thousands of you, if not millions of you, were banned from Parler. It's why tens of thousands of you have lost followers on Twitter. And now they're going after the TV and radio crowd. This story from Mediaite, I want to read the headline to you. Cumulus Radio orders host, which include Dan Bongino and Mark Levin, to stop pushing election conspiracies. Cumulus Media, the radio broadcasting company, reportedly telling host they will be fired if they continue to spread baseless claims about the 2020 presidential election. Now, they also mentioned Ben Shapiro, but it's as Shapiro's producer pointed out, Cumulus is not Ben's employer. And Ben hasn't been told anything about what he can or cannot say on the air. And the same with Mark Levin. So I've heard other radio groups that have put down and put out similar orders. You are not allowed to talk about X, Y, or Z. Well, if that's the case, what's the point of having a talk radio station? So I put out my own orders with our crew here at the radio station we own here in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. And I told our host they're allowed to say whatever they want to say, as long as they don't use the foul language. Let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Steve in Central Arkansas. Hey, Steve, I understand you're having a hard time grasping something. What's going on?
Yeah, full disclosure here, Todd. I have never been on social media. I've never had a social media account. So this may be a little easier for me to say than some people. But I have a hard time understanding why people, instead of people just crying about getting canceled on social media, they're not canceling social media. If you went to a grocery store and they gave you a little questionnaire when you walked in to fill out, and when you went up there to buy your groceries, they took your questionnaire and looked at it and said, oh, you're a conservative. Your groceries just went up 50%. Would you pay for that basket of groceries, or would you push it out of the way and walk out of that store and never go back?
Well, it's a fair question you raise, Steve, and I think the answer is pretty simple. Folks are addicted. I mean, it's like crystal meth. I mean, that's your Facebook and Insta. I mean, people literally go through withdrawal if they don't have that phone in their hand and if they're not checking the Facebook and the Twitter and the Instagram.
Well, I'll tell you something. When they took the opioids away from the drug addicts, they replaced it with heroin. If you take, if 80 to 75 to 80 million people walks away from social media, and I guarantee you, if that many potential customers are out there, it'll get replaced. You may be without social media for a period of time, but it'll get replaced. And I got a feeling what replaces it will be a whole lot better than what you have now.
To that point, Steve, I want to give you the very latest info on this. Twitter stock fell 7% in just one day, 7%. That amounts to, and this is according to Business Insider, they ran the numbers, $5 billion. That's how much Twitter lost in market value, $5 billion.
Well, if everybody that's mad about this would close their Twitter account today, how much do you think their stock would fall?
And that's a
crash.
Steve, and that's
you
it.
They crashed that company.
That's it. Look, here's the solution. All these companies that are cracking down now, here's the answer. Stop shopping there and let them know why you stopped shopping. And by the way, seriously, here's what you need to do. Don't worry about emailing corporate headquarters. What you do is you go to your local, let's say Walmart, for example. And Walmart says they're not going to be donating to conservative candidates or whatever, or Walmart bans something. I don't know, Trump books. You go to the local manager of that Walmart, and you're polite about it, but you say, Mr. Manager, I just want to let you know something. Your corporate policies are the reason why I'm no longer going to shop here. And I can guarantee you that manager is going to contact corporate headquarters to let them know what's going down. And folks, that's what we have to do. We have to go after the locally owned franchises of, you know, these big companies, corporate companies, and big corporations, and let them know. Go directly to the source. Steve, thanks for the call. Steve's got a great point. Just shut it down. Just shut it down. Make them suffer in their bank accounts. Make them suffer. All right, look, we're going to take a break here. Mark in the Villages, Eddie in Little Rock, hang tight, 844-747-8868. What do you think we ought to do? Steve raises a good point. Do you think we ought to just shut down our social media accounts? Is that the answer? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
This, I think, is driving me nuts, folks. Those of you watching us on the Facebook live stream. So I'm still recovering from eye surgery from Thursday, and they said, you know, you probably need to take some days off just to kind of, but I can't. There's too much breaking news. I don't want to leave you guys. So anyway, it's an issue. So I'm actually seeing lots of spots right now. It's very weird. And I was on the phone with the doctor, and I'm like, is that normal? He goes, yeah, it's normal. Just stop bothering us, please. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's normal. For you to see, you know, hundreds of little dancing black balls in your eye. Anyway, I should be blessed that I have two eyes, or at least one and a half. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-88. I know, I've got to stop. I know, Grace Baker, I'm sorry, but what was I going to do?
I think you were about to go to the phones, Todd.
Oh, thank you. No, I know that. I was you act like I'm on drugs or something. I'm not.
I mean,
right now.
It's all that Tylenol, man.
Hey, look, it's amazing. You can get hopped up. Look, Mountain Dew and Tylenol, that is a Saturday night adventure.
Oh, I bet.
I'm just saying. All right, Memphis, Tennessee, and I know this is shocking, but you guys in Memphis are under a winter weather advisory right now, and I'm looking out the window of our Southern Command bunker, and it is snowing, and this is like big, thick snowflakes. You know, it's that doesn't happen very often in Memphis, Tennessee. Bill on the line. Bill, are you out there building the snowman just yet? Hello, Bill. We don't have Bill because he's outside building a snowman like every other person in the city. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to Eddie Little Rock. All right, Eddie, what's going on?
Well, my understanding that the president's getting ready to declare martial law. There's a lot of people fixing to get arrested. He let all this play out and everything till the bitter end.
Eddie, where are you getting that information? I haven't seen that information. Where are you getting that from?
Well, you ever listen to Ben Ferguson?
So Ben Ferguson says the president's about to declare martial law?
No, there's a guy that's been on the Ben Ferguson show that the president's getting ready to declare martial law.
If he's going to do it, he doesn't have a lot of time left. And what do you think? So let's just say this, and I don't know who this guy is, but let's say the president does declare martial law. What then?
Well, that's why the laptop was taken. It was taken by military guys.
I see. So the president, stolen laptop, Marshall, again, Eddie, I've seen a lot of these conspiracy theories over the weekend. There was one that the military was dispatching troops to every American city. There were going to be massive blackouts. They were going to use the emergency broadcast system, EAS, so the president could talk to the people. I mean, it's just, you know, at what point do you say, okay, where is the proof of all of this?
The proof is where Nancy Pelosi wanted to revoke the 25th Amendment. That's the reason she wants to hurry and get him out of there, so he can't do that. That's why it was all set up for the president. Antifa was the one that got into the White House, and she was the one that had the cops there to stand down, and that's how they got in.
Now, I will say this about everything you just said. I don't have a clue, Eddie. I can't prove any of that. But one thing that does make me very suspicious is what happened with the Capitol Police. I find it very hard to believe that.
My understanding, they were asked to stand down.
All right,
down.
Well, hold on, Eddie. Let me finish my thoughts. I find it very hard to believe that any person, man or woman, who puts their hand on a Bible or swears an oath to protect and serve and defend is going to tuck tail and run. I just find that hard to believe. I don't believe it. And that leads me to ask the second question. If that's the case, were they told to stand down? And if so, who gave that order? And we all look, and this is all you have to do is research this. Go onto the official congressional website, and it tells you right there who's responsible for oversight of the U.S. Capitol Police. And the answer to that question, Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, the House and the Senate. So is it possible that somebody in congressional leadership told the police to stand down and let the mob inside the building? That's the question.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi.
All right, Eddie. Well, and it may be. We will find out, I can tell you that much. Eddie, appreciate the phone call. And again, folks, I don't know. I hear the conspiracy theories, and they're just coming at us so fast. And if you don't believe it, all of a sudden you become the Antichrist. Yeah, seriously. I mean, they actually want you to believe that all of the people there that were caught inside the Capitol building, here's what I would have done. I would have just said, okay, let's just lock all the doors. Anybody inside the Capitol building that's not supposed to be there gets arrested. You go to jail. I mean, all you people out there that are, you know, you're blasting Black Lives Matter and saying, oh, they need 10 years in jail because they tore down a statue. And then you're going to turn around and say the people inside the Capitol building don't deserve to go to jail for what they did and the damage they caused. Well, that's what we call hypocrisy. But there are honest-to-goodness people out there who believe that even though these people identify themselves as Trump supporters, they're actually not Trump supporters, that they fabricated their backgrounds, that they created these fake identities to fool the mainstream media and the FBI and the CIA. And folks, I mean, come on. Come on here. It's just too much. It's just too much. We've got to focus on the big story. And the big story is somebody wanted the nation to stop talking about voter fraud. Who was that? That's who I'd be talking to. Somebody wanted to give all of those Republicans up on Capitol Hill cover to change their votes. Who did that? I think personally it was a two-pronged effort. And I think a Republican and a Democrat were behind all of this nonsense. And I suspect at the end of the day we're going to find out that the Capitol Police were told to stand down. I just cannot believe that you could have a security failure of that magnitude. You just think about what happened. They breached one of the most secure buildings in the world. A bunch of amateur protesters? I don't think so. We're going to find out, though. I can promise you that. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We'll be right back, folks.